I lost the beam, King said from where he lay on the carpet of needles at the edge of the trees. The light of early summer streamed all around him, that haze of green and gold. Roland reached under King and helped him to sit up. The writer cried out in pain as the swollen ball of his right hip grated in the shattered, compressed remains of its socket, but he did not protest. Roland pointed into the sky. Fat, white, fair-weather clouds, Los Angeles, the cowpokes of Majors had called them, hung motionless in the blue except for those directly above them. There, they hide rapidly across the sky as if blown by a narrow wind. There, Roland whispered furiously into the writer's scraped, dirt-clogged ear. Directly above you, all around you. Does thee not feel it? Does thee not see it?
Yes, King said. I see it now.
Aye, and 'twas always there. You didn't lose it. You turned your coward's eye away. My friend had to save you for you to see it again. Roland's left hand fumbled in his belt and brought out a shell. At first his fingers wouldn't do their old, dexterous trick. They were trembling too badly. He was only able to still them by reminding himself that the longer it took him to do this, the greater the chance that they would be interrupted, or that Jake would die while he was busy with this miserable excuse for a man. He looked up and saw the woman holding his gun on the driver of the van. That was good. She was good. Why hadn't Gann given the story of the tower to someone like her? In any case, his instinct to keep her with them had been true. Even the infernal racket of dogs and Bumbler had quieted. Hoy was licking the dirt and oil from Jake's face, while in the van, Pistol and Bullet were gobbling up the hamburger, this time without interference from their master. Roland turned back to King, and the shell did its old, sure dance across the backs of his fingers.